and welcome. It's hour number two of the podcast. We take a look at the Minnesota Vikings. Calls for Mike Zimmer, the coach, to be fired and or Kirk Cousins benched at quarterback. This following a loss to the Atlanta Falcons. There are 9 teams in the NFL that have 1 win, and the Minnesota Vikings are on that list of teams. We take a look at who will be the fall guy for the Vikings. Will Zimmer be out? Will Cousins be out? We take a closer look at the chaos and anarchy that is Minnesota Vikings football here in hour number two. You can call it a purple haze. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast Fox Sports Radio network, celebrating 20 years now this year, 20th anniversary of Fox Sports Radio, emanating live from inside the Magic Radio Box, also known as the Geico FSR Studios. We're back at it again. We're not going to shy away from baseball, but it is a football postmortem. And one of the more surprising outcomes in the NFL was not a high-profile game. It took place in Minnesota. This was a matchup of two of the worst teams in football coming in, but the anticipation was that one team would play better than the other. Not a glamour matchup. The 1-4 Vikings playing host to the Atlanta Falcons, who came in with an 0-5 record. Atlanta performing their first game, the Falcons, since firing Dan Quinn. He got poleaxed last week, and they replaced him with Raheem Morris, a former head coach from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On paper, this was set up for Minnesota to sneak back a little bit closer to respectability. What happened in the game, though, was appalling and horrifying if you happen to back the formerly purple people eaters of the Twin Cities. Now, I don't know if you saw this game. Maybe you didn't. It wasn't, as I said, a high-profile matchup. But Atlanta came out and took advantage of not one, not two, but 3 first-half interceptions by Kirk Cousins, and they jumped out of the gates to a 20-0 halftime lead, and of course, never looked back. Matt Ryan ended up with 371 yards passing and 4 touchdowns as Atlanta took a crowbar to the Vikings, a 40-23 beatdown in the Twin Cities, and so now the Falcons and Vikings are dead even. They're dead even. 1-5. 1-5 record for both the Vikings and the Falcons. Remember, the Falcons were supposed to be a playoff team. They were a team that was good last year. You figured they'd be a competitive team again this year. And, of course, the better story is in the losing locker room, which could be either one of these locker rooms. But in particular, it's all about what's going on in Minnesota, the drama-rama there in Minnesota. And Kirk Cousins, 3 first-half interceptions, he stays in the game. Mike Zimmer, and he's a defensive guy, and he oversees a defense which was wretched against the Atlanta Falcons offense. Let's hear from the two people in the crosshairs here for the Minnesota Vikings. That would be the aforementioned Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins. We'll hear from Zimmer first. You'll hear the question and the answer here, and it was all about whether or not to pull Kirk Cousins at halftime.
Mike, is there ever a thought, like when he's struggling like that, to make a change just for the second half, just to be able to give the offense some life and maybe a fresh start?
No.
No! See, there you go. One word, he said no. Anyone watching the game was like, why not? What do you have to lose? All right, here's more from Mike Zimmer, who points out the interception, that second interception, that was not a thing of art.
There's so much ebbs and flows with the momentum throughout the course of the ball game. Obviously, that was not a good one. I think, the second one didn't help any that way as well. But we weren't able to run the football today. They laid their ears back and kind of tried to pressure them in different ways. And we just didn't play very well.
The only time, and I've watched football for a fair amount of time, the only time an interception is a good interception is on a Hail Mary pass just before halftime. When you chuck the ball up from about 50 yards out, if it gets intercepted and that's it, that's like, nah, who cares? You took a shot. But almost any other game situation, an interception is like, what are you doing? All right, now Kirk Cousins, the man of the hour as well. And here is Cousins commenting on his status as the Vikings starting quarterback should this continue to be the story week after week.
You just have to play well, you know, in this business. And the reality is if the pace, you know, that I'm on in terms of the interceptions, if that were to continue, you know, I won't finish the season. I won't, you know what I mean? So there's a little bit of, you know, you got to improve, whether it's, you know, them telling me, hey, we got to improve, or them pulling me, you got to get better. And that'll be what the rest of the season will be about for me, you know, trying to protect the football as best I can, because when you turn the ball over, you know, it really hurts your chances to win. And I know that, you know, and just need to improve as we look ahead to the rest of the season.
All right. So he's admitting he knows this. He's also admitting the obvious that the Vikings can say sayonara, goodbye, see you later, arrivederci to any kind of postseason sitting at 1-5. As an absolute fact, based on history here, you're not going to make the playoffs in that situation. So this is a see you later situation as far as the postseason is concerned. So what about some of the speculative reports that Mike Zimmer's going to be in some trouble now, that Kirk Cousins, that both these guys are in some danger? So let us discuss. Are you going to buy or sell the Vikings making wholesale changes as far as the coaching staff and the quarterback? And I am going to sell this. I'm not going to buy this. Not that it shouldn't happen. It should. There should be some kind of price to pay, but it's not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. I've got the traveling band, ozone layer, and collateral damage. And we will combine all these things together. Now, number one. Viking ownership had a choice. They were at a fork in the road in the offseason. They decided to give Kirk Cousins a contract. His contract was winding down, and instead of cutting the cord, chop, 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 they decided, you know what, we're going to extend and throw money at Kirk Cousins is what we're going to do. We're going to throw money at him, and so they did. Cousins is locked up. They gave him a new $66 million extension, which is 1-6 away from the sign of the devil, through the 2022 season. Mike Zimmer also had limited time left on his contract. You might remember, maybe you don't, because there's been an apocalypse going on this year, but he was given a new lease on life. Mike Zimmer, he got a contract extension just this past summer that goes through the 2023 season. So they doubled down. They got to the crossroads, the fork in the road. They doubled down on both the coach and the quarterback, which means, for better or worse, the Viking brass has decided to keep the traveling band together, even though the band is out of tune. It's out of tune. I think somebody stole some of the instruments out of the band, but they're still together. And essentially what's happened here is they've made their bed of nails. Now they have to lay in it. Now, I like Mike Zimmer. We support Mike Zimmer. He has not done a good job. He has not done a good job. Now, who you want to blame for that? Is it the game passed him by? Is it because he's spending too much time with his Instagram model girlfriend? I don't know what's going on, but he sucks. He's not coaching this team the way he has in the past, where he coaches guys up. It's embarrassing the way the Vikings are playing now. And the second thing here, Kirk Cousins, this guy. Now, he has regressed into Dante's Inferno, if you will, and that is an understatement. Fire and brimstone have taken over. Now, Kirk Cousins was always a middle of the pack. Occasionally, he'd be a little bit better than that. Middle of the pack, slightly better quarterback. Now, he has become the ultimate mistake-prone disaster. And it happens in these quick pockets of doom. Remember the game in Seattle where the Vikings, a couple weeks back against the Seattle Seahawks, you know, played a pretty good first half, and then in the third quarter, right, a couple of plays, I think it was a couple of passes in a row, or two out of three, something like that, where Cousins screwed up and handed Seattle a bunch of points because of his incompetence. Cousins coming in to this week against Atlanta was the 24th-ranked quarterback in the NFL. And that number is going to go even lower. Kirk Cousins right now has a giant hole in his ozone layer. He's got a giant hole and some sunlight, some gases are getting in there. This game against a miserable Falcon defense, it's very important to point that out, how horrible Atlanta was. The reason they got rid of their coach in large part was because of the defense. They were blowing leads, but the defense was blowing these games. And so for the Falcons to perform the way they did and Cousins to struggle against that Atlanta defense, my God. And the numbers, the final numbers do not look as bad as Kirk Cousins played. He had no touchdowns, three interceptions in the first half. His passer rating at halftime was 40.5. The Falcons turned those three Viking interceptions into 17 points. Kirk Cousins played like a limp dish rag in the first half of that game. And then in garbage time, abracadabra, hocus pocus, and Kirk Cousins goes into the sorcerer's workshop and cooks up some stat-stuffing potion. He had three touchdowns, no interceptions. He averaged 10.9 yards per attempt in the second half in a game that was over at halftime. So you look at the final numbers, they're still not great because of the three interceptions, but the second half of that game, Cousins was averaging almost 11 yards per pass attempt. He had a passer rating of close to 150. Meaningless garbage. Meaningless garbage time stats. So why is he not in danger of being benched? His performance would indicate that he is not worthy of continuing to start and he should take a step back. Have you seen the Viking depth chart? You've heard the phrase, we've all heard the phrase, put all your chips in one basket. The Vikings have done that. And Kirk Cousins, in many ways, is insulated because he has a substandard backup. Former Oregon State Beaver and LA Ram third-string quarterback Sean Mannion is the backup for the Vikings. So Mannion, who you could argue would not be that much worse than the way Kirk Cousins is playing right now, but that's the fallback plan. That's plan B, which isn't really a plan B for the Vikings. All right, final point. So as Minnesota continues to spread water in the sewer there and really drink the water out of the sewer is what I should say there, and they're just going down the tank, something is going to change. Now, I've said on the record, I do not believe that the Vikings are going to bench Kirk Cousins. I also do not believe that there's any danger that Mike Zimmer is replaced as coach. So if not Zimmer or Cousins, who ends up being the fall guy? Who's the collateral damage? Now, using the powers of deductive reasoning, I have circled two names that are in some danger here for the Minnesota Vikings. One of them would be Gary Kubiak, the offensive coordinator. The other one is the co-defensive coordinator, Andre Patterson. Now, since Cousins has been the runt of the litter at quarterback, this falls at the doorstep of Gary Kubiak. Right? He can be the fall guy because Cousins has played like a rotting piece of meat. So you can say, hey, we'll get rid of the offensive coordinator, and then that's the problem. There's not a connection between Cousins and Kubiak. That's an easy move to make. The problem is that there's a bond, right? Zimmer and Kubiak, a couple old school guys, and they've been around together, different places, and so there's a connection there. It's more complicated also to get rid of Andre Patterson because every man, woman, and child who knows anything about football knows that Mike Zimmer really calls the shots. It would be the equivalent of Kansas City firing Eric Bieniemy as their offensive coordinator when the play-calling duties go to Andy Reid. Well, Mike Zimmer handles the meat and potatoes of the Vikings' defense, and as weak as that has been, as pathetic, as anemic as the Vikings' defense has been, are you going to get rid of Andre Patterson, the co-defensive coordinator, and say, well, that's the guy, it's his fault? Makes no sense. So I would say Kubiak is the top guy, and then Patterson. There's always the possibility that you fire whoever the special teams coach is just to shake it up a little bit. But the winds of change will be blowing through the Twin Cities. It just won't be the usual top suspects, the coach and the quarterback. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. You want to talk about any of that? It is all fair game here at 877 99 on Fox. If you'd like to be part, 877-996-6369. The World Series matchup is set. It's the Dodgers. The Dodgers taking on the Tampa Bay Rays in the World Series. It starts on Tuesday on Fox. The Dodgers, the favorite going in the World Series, the top two teams in all of baseball during the very short 60-game regular season. All right, it's not about your time or my time. It's all about FaceTime. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Doing it with so many guys.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
If you're a regular listener, you know the Ben Maller Show's unconventional sports talk. We dabble in the outlandish and bond with the freaks and geeks. Facebook's a digital playground for all of us. You can chat with other P1 friends of the show. It's painless, and you can cancel anytime. Just like our page. Go to Facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Ozzie Guy writes in, says, the Braves in hour one, the Falcons in hour two. I look forward to the Georgia Bulldogs monologue in hour three, the Atlanta Hawks in hour four, and who could forget the Thrashers in hour five. Ted Turner endorses these monologues. Well, Ozzie Guy, that was a Viking monologue, but they were playing the Atlanta Falcons. So there is that. And that dope Brian Finley continuing to listen to the show here. And he says, if I had a nickel for every time Maller borrows one of my phrases, I could put up the Maller Mansion and all the houses around it. Buy up the Maller Mansion. He says, well, by the way, Brian, I know you think you invented the term crowbar. William Shakespeare made references back in the, what, the 1400s or whenever that was. He made references to the crowbar. He used the term iron crow. And the term goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. I like that Brian is so cocky and confident and arrogant that he thinks he invented the term crowbar. It's impressive to me that he thinks that.
And it drew the issue of Chuba Hubbard.
Yes, that's right. Robbie the Mariner fan says, give Sean Mannion a chance, as he sends out an autographed photo that he has of Sean Mannion. Robbie, the closet Oregon State fan. He's a closet Oregon State fan. So it's not your time, my time, it's FaceTime, and that would be the story out of Miami, and this will be the story, I predict, of the NFL weekend that will get all the play on the non-sports shows, on the non-sports shows. I am referring to Tua Tagovailoa, the former Alabama quarterback who finally got into a game. It's an amazing thing. It's a shocking thing here. His NFL debut. And there was a shot after the game had obviously ended, and the Dolphins shut out the New York Jets, and Tua was sitting in an empty stadium. There had been fans at the game at the Dolphins stadium there, but they had left, and it was minutes after the game. Tua walked back out onto the field after the game, and he sat down at the 15-yard line where he had thrown a pass right in that area, and he FaceTimed. He was FaceTiming his mom and dad, who could not be at the game. So this is the story that is going to have the leg. This is the story that's going to get the attention. This is like, see, look at that. Rah, rah. Now, I've done monologues over the last couple of months here that Tua should have been playing. I believe that to be true. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick has put up solid numbers for the Miami Dolphins, and he played well again. I don't know how you don't play well against the Jets. You really have to stink to not play well against the Jets, although he did have a couple of interceptions, but the three touchdown passes by Ryan Fitzpatrick, and if you watched the way this game went down here and the timing and all that stuff, you're like, well, Fitzpatrick, he had one of those interceptions came in the fourth quarter. The game was already decided by the fourth quarter. But anyway, Tua's a little FaceTime with his mom and dad. That's what's the feel-good Disney-esque story. It's going to get all the attention. But the Dolphins should be playing Tua. Tua, if you didn't see the final garbage time minutes, he attempted two passes. He completed both of them for a grand total of 9 yards. And in the final seconds there, as the Miami Dolphins get a 24-0 win. The Jets now 0-6, sitting pretty at 0-6, and now because the Giants won, and you're looking around there, you're like, hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. You start looking towards that NFL draft, and you smell that. That's the Jets. They stink worse than anybody. They're the last team that has not won a game left in the NFL, the New York Jets. You got a bunch of one-win teams. You've got nine one-win teams. There's nine teams that have one win, and then the Jets have no wins. So that you talk about neck and neck. And if the Jets can somehow find a win, if they can somehow get a win, and then you could have 10 teams all with the same record, man. All right, let's go to the phones, and who do we have here? Who's batting leadoff? Let's say hello to Dre, who's in somewhere in California. Hello, Dre.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Maller? I am in the middle of California, right in Central Cal. Either you're a Giants fan or you're a Dodger fan, and I am not going to hold back. I hate the Dodgers with a passion. And hate the strong emotion. You know that, don't you, Ben?
Well, hate's a great emotion. I fuel this show with hate. It's a wonderful emotion. It gets a lot of reaction. It's passion. You got to have passion, Dre. You got to have passion. Are you a Giants fan?
I'm the biggest Giants fan you would want me to. I have two favorite teams, and you know who they are. The Giants. Yeah. Who's ever playing the Dodgers?
There you go. Well, listen, the Giants had their little run. It's over with now. The Giants are done. They're irrelevant. They had their little success. Mad Bum ain't walking back through that door. Bruce Bochy ain't walking back through that door. You're done. Yeah, that's it. So you just got to accept that. You've got to embrace the fact that Giants are irrelevant and will be irrelevant for the next 100 years.
Well, you know what? All my life they've been irrelevant, and they proved me wrong. 10 years ago? So I agree with half your statement there. And let me tell you something. I agree with what you said last week. Roberts was a dummy to put old Kerchok in the game, and he was pretty smart not to put Kerchok in the game tonight. I kind of wish he would have. Then Atlanta might have won. I was surprised that the Dodgers did not pee their pants. But I'm going to tell you what. They will pee their pants in the World Series.
Yeah.
Let's go Tampa Bay. What do you say about that, Ben?
Can you name three people on the Tampa Bay Rays right now, Dre?
You know I can't.
Could you name one guy on the Tampa Bay Rays?
Osuna Bin Laden.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yes. He's... There you go.
Racist.
And thus is the problem with the
racist
name brand Tampa Bay Rays. Well, you ask a question.
That's Eddie's people right there, man.
Those Eddie's guys. Central California, man, right there. The breadbasket of California. That's Eddie's guys. You're right.
Fair and balanced.
He's like, I got a lot of hate. I couldn't name one guy on the Tampa Bay Rays, but I'm pulling for them. They're going to win the World Series.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Maller, prop guy, writes in, says, the wheel of producers lands on the prince of sports radio production, Koopaloo. Plus, the Broncos beat the Belichicks. Football, he says. Also, Mr. Canella writes in, says, not even listening to the Maller Show. I know you're listening, Mr. Canella. I know you're listening there in Colorado. He says he's upset because of Cam Newton's poor performance. To my standards, he says, I'm not listening. I know you're listening. By you saying you're not listening, that even gives me more reason to think you're absolutely listening. So stop, okay? And Cam Newton was terrible. He was horrible. And the New England Patriots did something that had only happened once in the last 23 times that Bill Belichick went against a first or second year quarterback, and that is to lose the game. And it was not even like the Broncos played all that well. They didn't. But they won the game on a bunch of field goals. How do you beat the Patriots just kicking field goals? The Broncos did it. You do that when Cam Newton goes out and sucks at a time you cannot suck.
To me, it was very encouraging, Ben.
Well, you are a Bronco apologist, though, Koopaloo.
Well, think about it. Like, you know, there's no way that they can be that bad in the red zone or like within, you know, their side of the field every game. They got within field goal range six times. Eventually they're going to figure it out, and the defense showed up even without, you know, Von Miller. We you know, pressured the quarterback. We made some, you know, we got some turnovers. So you know, it's I'm optimistic.
You realize the problem, though, is that the Broncos aren't a playoff team, so you're going to be mediocre. So you're going to be somewhere in like that 6, 7, 8 win area. Like, you got two wins now. You beat the Jets and the Patriots.
You never know, Ben.
I kind of do know. Yeah. How about this? You go into Foxborough, you win a game, your starting quarterback had 189 yards passing, completed barely 40% of his passes, and had two interceptions and no touchdowns. You won the game. Drew Lock, is he the quarterback of the future for the Broncos with that riveting performance against the Patriots?
Never lost his confidence.
There you go. Never lost his confidence. All right. Let's take some calls here. The people would like to speak. Let's say hello to Ed in Spokane. Hello, Ed.
What's up, Ben? Let's go, Dodgers. Sorry, the speaker was on. That was an amazing win by the Dodgers, Ben, huh?
That's right, Ed. Yes, our Dodgers are in the World Series, Ed.
I was so excited when I seen that game.
You might have to pull out the bullhorn, Ed. This is worthy of the bullhorn.
It's in the trunk. Sorry.
Oh, it's in the trunk. All right.
Begging you around. Let's go, Dodgers! Let's go, Dodgers! Is that good?
Yeah, I think that'll work. That'll work, Roberto, right? We can put that
in the
system.
That'll work.
Yeah, why not?
It was a great defeat against the Atlanta Cowards.
Yes, the Cowards. How do you blow three leads in a Game 7? You had three different leads in a Game 7.
I have no idea. I stopped watching, but I found out they tied the series. And I was like...
Wait. Why did you stop watching? Were you watching the football game? Because that wasn't much of a game.
No, I mean, when they were down 3-1 or whatever... I stopped watching the game, so I think I'm the reason why they won.
Well, thank you. And whenever the Dodgers fall behind, Ed, just turn the TV off at that point. Do something else. Go.
Afraid they're going to put Kershaw in the game.
Yeah, so was I. I saw him kind of lurking in the dugout there. I said he's going to go down there and start warming up at any moment.
Yeah, I was driving back from Seattle, so I didn't see it, but. I heard it.
Oh, I hear. Your girlfriend's in the background. Are you guys married? You're not married yet, are you? You're not married, are you?
Nah, yeah.
When's the wedding? Do we have a wedding date picked out?
Are you going to come?
Well, if I'm invited, maybe I will show up. You never know.
Could happen. Okay.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you, Ed. All right. There you go. There's Ed and Christina. Yeah, side by side, myself, Ed, Christina, we had Robbie the Mariner fan, and Jay Scoop, and so many legends there walking down the street in Seattle, and Ed was just screaming into that megaphone, screaming my name out. Just wonderful. Just a great memory. That's the way we ended 2019. We were going to do a couple of those things in 2020, but there's reasons we're not. There's reasons we're not doing that. Oscar says, hey, Ben, remember when the San Francisco Giants almost moved to Tampa Bay back in the early 1990s? That's because there was no such thing as Giants fans, Oscar points out. Mr. Nice Guy says, Ben, you're going to know all their names. He's talking about Tampa Bay here. And you will never forget them if they beat your Dodgers. Eh, that's not true. Remember, the other day we were talking about the 2018 World Series and that no-name that was the MVP for the Red Sox. We couldn't even remember his name, right? And that's only a couple years ago, and the Red Sox clobbered the Dodgers.
Like, is it Pierce? Is that what it is?
That sounds close, I guess. We'll just go with that. So, why not? But yeah, he's just a journeyman guy they picked up midseason. And
retired
he
now, by the way, I think.
He's out of baseball. There you go. What a way to go out. World Series most valuable player. Most valuable player. All right, let's keep it going on the phones. Let's see here. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Oh, we called him out. He called in Canella in Denver, who said, I'm not listening to the Maller Show. I'm upset with Cam Newton dropping a deuce at the 50-yard line in Foxborough. Well, guess who called up? Canella. Hello, Canella.
Mr. Maller, how you doing, man? Yeah, you call me. You call me. I'm going to give it to you. Yeah, Cam Newton sucked today. But, hey, we got San Francisco next week, and then we got the Bills the week after that. So we'll see how we play then.
The Patriots are a losing team with Cam Newton. Now, I know they lost the one game he didn't play in against the Chiefs, but they are they have a losing record after 5 weeks for the first time since the very early part of the Tom Brady run.
They would have beat the Chiefs if Cam Newton would have played. Anyhow, when
Cam Newton did it. Cam Newton played. Wait. Cam Newton played. He played. He played like dog poop, but he played.
Okay, today, yes. When I have my Ben Maller burger in Colorado, I will tweet you guys out a picture. So thank you so much for the call. Thank you.
All right. I don't know what he's a Ben Maller burger. We have the Ben Maller chicken sandwich, which is in Colorado, the Maller, they call it, at the Sportsbook Bar and Grill, and we are still awaiting the final details. We have to pick out what kind of alcoholic beverage we want the Maller maneuver to be, but that will be on the menu. The branding of the show continuing. One mom-and-pop restaurant at a time. We are going to take over every mom-and-pop restaurant imaginable. All right, straight ahead for us. Here we go. We're going to have the instant trivia. Oh, I got Maller to the third degree. Here is the instant trivia. We're just talking about that Bronco game against the Patriots. So Drew Locke becomes the second quarterback to defeat the Bill Belichick Patriots on the road while throwing multiple interceptions. He joins blank as the only other player to do it. Again, Drew Locke just becoming the second quarterback ever to defeat the Bill Belichick version of the Patriots on the road while throwing multiple interceptions. He joins blank. That is the Insta trivia. That and Maller to the third degree coming up next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Only a few rare birds are able to listen to all 4 hours of the Ben Maller Show live overnight, but thanks to podcasting, you have no excuse to miss a second of our unorthodox chatter. Subscribe to the Ben Maller Show podcast on iTunes and give us 5 stars. It's quick, painless, and a noise management. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Got Maller to the third degree coming up here momentarily, but first the Insta trivia. Before we go there, Robin Vegas says, so far these calls tonight have been absolutely horrible. Is there a full moon or something? I can't help you on that. A Supermarket Steve says, what position does Canella play for the Patriots? He kept referring to them as we. Well, he's gone now. Robbie the Mariner fan points out it's been all downhill since the Maller meetup. I don't know what you're talking about. You and your little curse of the Bambino. All right, here is the instant trivia. Drew Locke is the second quarterback to defeat the Bill Belichick-led Patriots on the road. While throwing multiple interceptions, he joins blank as the only other player to do it. That is the question. What is the answer? Sly says it's the magic man, Don Majkowski. That's the answer. Marquise is going with Jay Fiedler. Vince Evans in his 30th NFL season is the answer, according to Ryan. Tony Romo, tossed out by Johnny Q. Evel Knievel from Jay in Florida. Trucker Joe, in parts unknown, normally he's from Pennsylvania, is going with J.P. Lossman. Dan Marino from Hobby Bobby. Peyton Manning, tossed out by Thomas, the Cub fan. Who else do we have? Page down. Eric in Omaha is going with Peyton Manning. Jump ball Joe Flacco from Robbie. James is going with Dick Pound as his answer. Ozzie Momentum says Algie Crumpler is the correct selection. Purple Drank himself, Jamarcus Russell from Vols fan Jimmy. Rudy Giuliani from the Real Martin at the airport in Denver. What's the answer there, Eddie, please?
It's Joe Germain.
Joe Germain, is that correct? No, it is incorrect. Well, Maller prop guy got it right. The correct answer is Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner back in 01, an MVP season for Kurt Warner. Way back, the greatest show on turf.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This
is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, here we go. Coop Daloop, who's back from quarantine.
So there was a report from The Athletic last week that said some players on the Clippers were bristled at Kawhi's preferential treatment from the team. Lou Williams fired back over the weekend, calling for sources to be revealed. Do you believe the report, Ben?
Yeah, I absolutely believe the report, but this goes on with every team that treats its star players differently than the rank and file. And I will guarantee you that the Lakers had guys who were tired of LeBron getting special treatment. That's how it goes in any workplace. You think I like that Cowherd gets treated better than me? Hell no. And B, it's not why the Clippers were bums against the Nuggets. See, there's no correlation. Yeah, there were guys upset because Kawhi got special treatment. That's not why they gagged against Denver. And this is more that after the fact, excuse making, trying to find a scapegoat. Kawhi, as long as he's with the Clippers, is going to be given VIP status. And if you can't handle it, then you go play for another team. Next!
So the Houston Texans have an open position for GM, and an interesting candidate has come up. Daryl Morey. Apparently people around the NFL think that he would be a great fit as a football GM. Do you agree?
Let me tell you what's up. The NBA media has determined there's no way Daryl Morey is going to get a job again in the NBA, so let's get him a football job. But it's actually not that outrageous. Paul D. Podesta, who I knew when he was the Dodger GM, and he worked for the A's, he was part of Moneyball back in those early days, and with the Mets also, he's in the Browns front office. So there is a path there, and considering Daryl Morey supports Hong Kong, he can't work in the NBA because the NBA supports communist China, and Daryl Morey is like a nerd. Imagine him running an NFL team. He would be like, never kick an extra point, go for two every time, never punt, go for it on fourth down, because that's what the analytics tell you. Next!
So the Denver Nuggets tweeted out a picture of franchise greats on Friday, and the Blazers took notice that the image was missing Carmelo Anthony. Do you think he should have been on there, Ben?
No, of course. Listen, it's the Nuggets list. They can put whoever they want on the list. And the only active player they had was Nikola Jokic. That's it. They had a bunch of retired players, former Denver players. So this is not high crimes and misdemeanors. The Nuggets asked fans, who's your favorite player? By the way, Carmelo Anthony spat at Denver on his way out of town to go to the Knicks. I can't imagine many think of Carmelo as their favorite player. There it is. Maller to the third degree. How'd we do?
You passed this edition.
There it is. That's a winner. Put it on the board. Woo!